Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding two January auctions. Their 18th annual January equipment auction on Friday, January 31st. Plus, we'll be conducting a retirement auction at Egypt in Kruger, Mississippi on Wednesday, January 29th. Visit mdauction.com for details on both.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night. Glad that you are here. The transfer portal is officially open. It's been open for, 36 hours or so, roughly, but it is transfer portal season. A lot is going on. You had the bowl game press conference today. Lane Kiffin, Manny Diaz talking about how much they respect each other and all that stuff. And then the opt-out conversation. Ole Miss has had none. Well, no starters have opted out for Ole Miss yet. And Duke has had two quarterbacks opt out. So we'll talk about all that and more with you on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky again. If you hear a little background noise, a little thumping. No, it is not my little man. It is, I've got my baby girl June in here. And she's had some stress lately in her three-legged dog life because the Christmas tree has been put where her bed usually is. Her bed is now in here, and she is laying down in a way that has her tail, her thumping tail, underneath the stand right here next to me. And so anytime I talk, she wags and she's thumping the bottom of this table. So if you hear like a constant just boom, 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 it's because my girl June down there, and she's looking at me, she's about to start thumping, is wagging her tail. So bear with me if it becomes too much. Right before I hit live, I was almost about to kick her out, but she's already stressed out because the bed is in here anyway. So anyway, if you hear that, that is what that is. So, but we are talking about all of those things tonight on this edition of the podcast. I would invite you to do all of these things. Subscribe if you're watching / listening on Super Talk. Subscribe to the Super Talk channel if you're right here with me live right now. Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report in your favorite podcast app. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the Rebel Report, and every edition of this, I would like to call it great podcast, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, he's now in Fulton. He's no longer in Saltillo, but he can service you anywhere in Mississippi. If you are in Mississippi and you're a small business owner and you may need legal advice, or you have been personally injured, or you may even have a contract dispute on your hands, here's the phone number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay, call DJ today. And if you don't need his services today, especially if you're a small business owner, save that number, though, because that day may come when you will need him, and you don't want to be stuck not knowing where to go. That's where you go, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. So the transfer portal is open, and at least for now, we're doing 3 days a week on this very podcast, and I have a limited amount of time with you guys. So I don't think it is efficient of my time and your time to talk about every player that Ole Miss has shown interest in, or frankly, even every player that Ole Miss is hosting on a visit. Now, maybe that's the wrong strategy. Maybe I should be just talking about nothing but all the players that are coming in. What I think is more efficient and a better use of our and your time, especially now that basketball season is becoming, you know, a thing. We'll have an interview, by the way, on Thursday with Chris Beard right here for you guys on Thursday stream. He's joining me live on the radio show on Thursday. I will bring that to you here on the podcast as well. So between that and bowl game and other stuff going on, I don't think it's the most efficient use of our time to just talk about every portal player that has been linked to Ole Miss. Here's what I promise you that I will do. We will talk about every portal player that commits to Ole Miss. Absolutely. We will talk about the bigger visitors for Ole Miss. Absolutely. But every single player that they're interested in, I can't do that. I will lose my mind. it's too hard to keep track of to do it the right way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to promise we will talk about all their pickups and maybe the big visitors and big picture stuff, as opposed to, well, Ole Miss showed interest in this player and he would fit in this way. That's too many people. And that's kind of how I want to start tonight. Is the transfer portal is open. Ole Miss is going to be very active again. The obvious question in this situation is, well, what do they need? Basically everything. They're going to be shopping on offense for wide receivers and running backs and offensive line and a quarterback and tight ends. I know that they have guys like Caden Lee coming back. They've got Cunningham and, I mean, a handful of blue chippers from the high school ranks at wide receiver. You've got Daquan Wright, but you still need to fill in those holes. On the offensive line, I think, you know, with the assumed Williams and Pounds coming back, you should be pretty darn good at tackle as long as Williams is healthy enough. For what it's worth, I do not anticipate Michael Pettis being on next year's Ole Miss team. Whether he decides to try his hand at going professional or hitting the transfer portal, I think Michael Pettis has played. I think Michael Pettis has played his last game at Ole Miss and will transfer. But they're needing everything on offense and everything on defense. They're going to be in the market for defensive line. You already know that because they're bringing in some for visits. They are going to basically need to replace the entire secondary, or at least have impact players at basically every spot. That's the goal. They're going to try to have their hand at linebacker, although on that one, linebacker might be a tough sell for Ole Miss, and it's a good problem to have, at least for portal players, because it is looking and sounding more and more likely that somehow Chris Paul is going to return to Ole Miss. You already expect Dottery back. But, man, the way this thing continues to go, it could change. It could not happen at all. This could be totally wrong. It looks and sounds like Chris Paul is going to return to Ole Miss. And if that's the case, first of all, that 1-2 punch at linebacker very well could be the best in college football. It certainly would be, I think, the best in the SEC going into next season. But that would make it kind of a tough sell for portal players who are expecting the good ones are expecting to come in and start right away. They still would play. They still need linebackers. I do wonder what kind of dynamic that would create, though. It's a good problem to have. Again, you want those guys back, and you could still get guys to come play for Pete Golding's system. Part of me wonders if they'll have more success on a guy that has more years of eligibility as opposed to, like, a guy with 1 year left, because the likelihood of him coming in and taking those two guys' jobs is very unlikely. So part of me wonders what that's going to be like recruiting linebackers because of that. Getting Chris Paul back, if that does come to fruition, having those two guys would be unbelievable. I mean, what a great year both of them had, especially Paul, of course. But that tandem of linebackers is special. It really is. And that's not gassing them up. They had a special season at linebacker. And so having those two, you know, returning it would just be unbelievably massive, both for their ability, but just to kind of maintain a veteran presence on that side of the ball when you're going to be cycling in some new guys. Somebody like Chris Paul, the veteran that he is, can kind of be like a culture precedent setter in the absence of Ivy and Pegues. You know, you would have Perkins back as well and some others, but that would be somebody that you would love to, you know, be your middle linebacker, right? Your linebacker with that experience level in that voice can kind of maintain culture on a defense that's going to be replacing a handful of guys. So I'm curious about that position as well. They need everything, and they're going to be going after everything. The things that I'm most fascinated with are defensive line, for obvious reasons. They did such a good job on the defensive line last year in the transfer portal. Obviously losing Pegues, Ivy, Nolan, Uman Mielen, although you might get another Uman Mielen, his brother, going to be visiting this week. Interesting prospect he is. Certainly has the size, the same build and things like that Princely did. Not necessarily a production, but still clearly a very intriguing prospect. You've got Harris returning. You've got Perkins returning. What I'm fascinated with on the defensive line is how much they believe in what they're retaining from last year's high school recruiting class. Like, how ready do they think Cam Franklin is to fill a role left behind by a Jared Ivy, for example? They had four stars in last year's recruiting class. How many of them do they believe can step up and fill starter roles as true sophomores, or redshirt freshmen this coming season. You know, how much do they believe in them? And their belief in them, or possible lack thereof, will dictate how willing they are to spend and who they're going to go after via transfer portal. And, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Jaheim Otis visiting Colorado, how big his number is, those kind of things. I mean, they're having to do this constantly, weighing what they have versus what they need and cost and things like that. How ready is Franklin to fill in that role and be an impact guy that could really help them in terms of possibly saving money when it comes to adding on the defensive line, not feeling as desperate to go get a rush end or just an end or a defensive lineman, knowing that what they have, they believe in. So I'm very fascinated to see how they approach the defensive line. Now, they're going to go try to get the best that they can get because that's what you're supposed to do. But what kind of numbers are they going to add to this team? And that will tell you, I think it will tell you what they think about what they currently have, how many defensive linemen that they go after. Obviously, secondary is another big one just because of the losses, quite simply how many players they lose in the secondary. That is a huge position of need. And how about quarterback? So I saw that Ole Miss is expected to get a visit from Virginia's quarterback, kind of had a tough year. And, you know, part of it, I think, is he was not on a particularly good football team. So that is certainly part of the conversation for sure. But, you know, if he's coming in, is that somebody that you expect can compete with and beat out Austin Simmons? Is that somebody that you come in knowing that, you know, he's likely not going to win the job, but, you know, could play a good bit, and, you know, you're only one play away from being a starter on an SEC team? I don't know. I'm very fascinated with how aggressive they are in the quarterback portal, knowing what they have in Austin Simmons, assuming he's not going to play baseball. If he plays baseball, you go ahead and get as aggressive as you possibly can be to get a quarterback, because already you've got the elbow injury situation. But I think it's time. We've talked about this before. I think it's time to choose. And I expect him, I think. I don't know, but I would think that he would choose football. So that position is something that I'm really interested in, is what kind of interest they're able to get from guys knowing that Austin Simmons exists already, and how aggressive are they going to be at the quarterback position knowing that they have Austin Simmons. I think the type of prospect that they go after again, will tell you what they think about what they currently have. If they're looking at Virginia's quarterback, who's talented, don't get me wrong, from the little that I watched play this year, there's talent there. A starter in the ACC, certainly, you know, experienced, and you like some things that he's been able to do. And so, but if that's the guy that you're getting to add to the room in Walker Howard's absence, I think that kind of tells you what they believe they have in Austin Simmons. But if they start going after somebody, you know, I don't think they're going after him, but like a Jackson Arnold, or if they start going after somebody like Malik Murphy, who they were supposed to play against in the bowl game, that might tell you a different story about what they think about the quarterback position. So I'm looking at all of them. Everybody's looking at all of them, but I am most interested in defensive line, defensive back, and yeah, even quarterback, because obviously Jackson Dart, after the bowl game, will no longer be the quarterback at Ole Miss, so they have to replace him. Is it Austin Simmons? Is it that simple? Well, we'll have to see. But, again, we will talk about it a lot. Big-time visitors or pickups, we will talk about all of those, but I'm not going to spend too much time on interested in this player. What does it mean? Well, it means that they need to fill spots at every spot, pretty much, because that's just kind of the nature of college football today. The other thing that I want to talk about tonight before we get to your comments is opt-outs, or the lack thereof. Now, I know what Lane Kiffin said today in his press conference about how there aren't any, and he hopes there aren't any and all that stuff. I would be shocked beyond measure if there are not at least a few, or one or two, or any opt-outs. I will believe that when I see it with my own eyes, and not a second sooner, about zero opt-outs. However, you have at least gotten a glimpse into what kind of team Ole Miss is going to field in this game, at least so far. And I understand that this, in part, is under the backdrop of the understood that the Grove Collective contracts incentivize playing in the bowl games. You know, I think Chase Parham was the first one to put it out there, to report it out there, that some of these contracts, if not all of these contracts, are backloaded, where especially if you're a fringe prospect, like if you're not a first or second round pick or a day two pick, that, you know, you kind of need the money, and it would be wise for you to not opt out, because leaving that much money on the table would be a mistake, considering you're not guaranteed a roster spot in the NFL next year. So I'm not saying that if it weren't like this, Jordan Watkins wouldn't play, that Jackson Dart wouldn't play. In fact, I mean, Jackson Dart would play in this game regardless of if his contract was backloaded or not, you know. But it does make it a little less surprising, knowing that fact, that some of these fringe guys are going to play in this game. But somebody like Trey Amos, I think it's really cool that he has decided to play in this game, because Amos is a guy that can be a first-round pick. He might have already played his way into it to begin with. He certainly is in line to make millions of dollars, whether it's first round or second round, whatever it is. He is in line to make a lot of money, and a lot more money than what is left behind or what is left remaining on his Grove Collective contract. And dirty little secret sometimes that with the NFL is agents are willing to give players money that they could be missing in these bowl games. That agents sometimes, not always, sometimes incentivize opting out of bowl games, and they take care of the players financially in order to do that. Regardless if that's Amos's situation or not, he is most definitely in line to make millions of dollars. And choosing to play in the bowl game anyway, I think, is a really cool, insignificant thing for multiple reasons. Because, again, there is nothing that he can do in the Gator Bowl that can change his draft status. Nothing that he can do. If he tests well and he shows up to the draft healthy, there's a very real chance that he's a first-round pick. And it seems like he's going to test well. He's got the physical traits of an elite-level corner that the NFL is looking for. He had a phenomenal season. And you know he had a phenomenal season because you didn't see his name called very much. He took away one half of the football field, an exceptional defensive back. He was really, really good. So him choosing to play in the Gator Bowl, I don't think that's a financial decision. I think that's just a kind of a character decision. Is he getting paid? Yes. Is Jordan Watkins and all these guys getting paid? Of course. But a guy like Amos, who is willing to play in that game as a one-year player, don't forget. He's a one-year guy. And so the narrative about one-year transfers that they can't, that they don't, none of them, they're all just mercenaries. All they care about is money. They don't care about the school at all. They don't care about their teammates. They don't care about you, the fans. They don't care. They just come in for money, and that's all they care about. And the second that it gets tough, they're out. They're not going to play. It doesn't matter. All of that narrative, at least for this one guy, is not true. And I like that. I admire that. I am, you know, I don't like opt-outs. I understand them. If Walter Nolan, for example, opts out, I get it, because he's in line to make millions of dollars. And he played, what, the entire season hurt, basically, and played through injury. Again, that's another guy, though. Played through injury, a one-year guy. Yes, I understand he's getting paid, but he was hurt and he could have not played, and he played anyway. And so, watching these guys in the way they played, in the decision that Trey Amos made, and the possible decision that, like, Chris Paul is making here, it kind of flies in the face of some of the narratives that these are all just selfish players that only care about one thing, and they won't make any sacrifices for their teammates or their school. And in 1 year, you can't respect it. I loved this decision from Trey Amos. It just, you know, I liked it. And I know that there are some fans that are, like, nervous that he gets hurt or whatever. I understand that. It's part of the risk that he's taking. But there are some people that think that NFL teams do not care one way or the other about opt-outs. And it depends on who you ask. There are people in my business, there are media people that will tell you or will try to convince you that NFL teams do not care about bowl opt-outs, that they don't care about that at all. And some of them don't. Some of it also depends on the prospect. If you are the best wide receiver available and you opt out of a bowl game, I mean, of course, they're not going to care much, right? Because they need you to win games after all. I have personally spoken with people on the NFL scouting side that used to be in the NFL scouting side and in the agency side that will tell you that doing things like that for some teams, not everybody, for some teams is a red flag. It is a red flag for some teams. So the people that say nobody cares, an NFL scout that I have spoken to directly about this says otherwise. Agent people, the agent side of this thing, will tell you that there are some NFL teams that even look at like transfer portal games that some of these players play as a red flag. Like I talked to somebody earlier today that said, yes, South Carolina is paying him a lot of money, but Dylan Stewart staying at South Carolina is going to be a good thing in the eyes of the NFL. There are going to be NFL teams that are going to look at Trey Amos's decision and say, that's a character move. And if Trey Amos is equal to another defensive back and they test the same and they're all equal, an NFL team might look at his decision and say, I want that guy on my team instead of the guy that chose to quit on his. Is that like that for everybody? Are there examples otherwise? Of course. But man, when you hear it directly from people that have been involved in the draft process in the NFL, then you need to believe them. And I do. So cool move from Trey Amos. Certainly does not have to play in this game. And choosing to play in this game, that really gives him no benefit other than, look, some financial boost, sure, but he's in line for millions. And just playing one more game with his team and his school, I think is really cool. And I think it's cool for Dart and everybody that plays in this game. This era of college football is ripe for opt-outs, even with the contracts that they are with Ole Miss and the Grove Collective. The players don't have to sign those contracts either, but they chose to. It's ripe for opt-outs. It's ripe for guys not caring. It seems like Ole Miss has a bunch of dudes that still care despite coming up short, and I think that's really cool. And finally, Duke, Malik Murphy has hit the transfer portal. He's apparently going to visit Auburn, as is every other quarterback, but he won't play in the game, and Duke's backup quarterback also not going to play in the game. Despite everything I said about Ole Miss and having players involved and how cool I think it is and stuff like that, man, it's kind of hard to get excited about the Gator Bowl anyway. And Duke not even being able to fire their best shots in this game makes it really hard to care. It's unfortunate. And I hate it for Duke, you know. I mean, they have a 9-win season, have a chance to get to 10, and quarterback doesn't want to stick around at, you know, I get it. I'm sure Auburn will pay him more money than Duke was willing to pay him. I understand it. I do. But it does kind of – it makes it hard anyway to care about this game the way some people are going to, you know, want me to. But, I mean, I would watch film on that Ole Miss defensive line and as a quarterback think, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe it's not good for my health if I play in that game. So, anyway, we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you would like to do with your money, because Priority One Bank, again, makes you their priority. Okay, to the comments we go. The transfer portal being open now is such a great idea, isn't it? ... No kidding. No kidding. They've got to adjust the calendar a little bit. Lane Kiffin is right when he says that the calendar is all jacked up. I also cannot stand when $10 million a year football coaches are complaining about having to work a lot. Like he's right, but also I don't care about his complaints. I know that's a weird thing, but I just don't. The bowl game is certainly tilting Ole Miss's way now. No kidding. No kidding. I mean, the only thing that's going to continue to grab me in this game is if they're able to play a lot of the young guys, the aforementioned Cam Franklin, if Austin Simmons is able to get a lot of snaps, that kind of thing. That's really at this point what I'm interested in. You know, you love the show. Whenever you click off of Josh Pate to come watch me, best part of the night. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. We want June. Okay, come here, honey. Come here, sweetie. Come here, sweetie. Come here. Come here. People want to see you. Come here, sweetie. Come here. Oh, there's that thumper. Come here, honey. Come on, honey. Come on, sweetie. What are you nervous about? Come here. Okay, there. Oh, I had to turn. There she is. There's June. Say hi, sweetie. Yeah. She's my little buddy. She's so good with my 5-year-old. Just an angel. Just a sweet, sweet dog. Aren't you, honey? Okay, let's get down. Because the podcast listeners cannot see you. Have to ask about this. I'm sure you addressed it on the radio show earlier. The absolute disaster going on with Arkansas football. Oh, my gosh. It's hard to do. I really feel bad for Arkansas fans. I really do. I feel really bad for Arkansas fans. I know you guys don't. After last season, it felt like if they don't move on, they're almost punting football. For them to have what happened last year, lose a lot of their good players to the portal. Some of them went to other SEC schools. To have another mediocre season, and then to sit back and watch it happen again. I mean, Arkansas football has completely faded into complete irrelevancy. They are totally irrelevant. And for a school that has its state by itself and has the brands, I mean, the corporate brands that are all over Arkansas, for them to have that set up and to be as completely and totally irrelevant as they are now. Right now, they're Ole Miss's farm system. Ole Miss is hosting, what, 4 former Arkansas players? And oh my gosh, the crying about tampering from media. Just kind of, that shows you, by the way, how few people that cover the sport understand the sport. My goodness. Whether it's willful ignorance or pandering or whatever, the fact that you have media people crying tampering tells you that it's either willful ignorance and pandering, or there are people that are so close to the situation that still have no idea how it actually works. And that's crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, long story short, Arkansas football has faded into irrelevancy. They are a farm system for other programs in the SEC. Other programs in the SEC that they look down on, and they shouldn't because they've been irrelevant for a decade, but they look down on them. It's how bad it is. Appearing more and more likely, Poopall's returning. What a gigantic turn of events that would be. I just assumed he was gone because my perspective was, I don't think he could possibly play any better. And that's not a knock on him. I mean, he just had an elite season. I mean, one of the best seasons at that position in the history of Ole Miss football. I mean, you can compare him to Patrick Willis. That's the kind of season that he had. He was that good. Special. He's up there with in that small number of Ole Miss linebackers. And having him come back is like picking up a 5-star plus in the portal, and that might even be an undersell because of just having him already there. We know the season is a failure, but you still think the fan base can be energized by the combination of an Egg Bowl win, a solid high school and portal class, good retention, and a 10th win in the bowl? Absolutely. Absolutely. It won't be the same as making the playoff, no doubt, but it can give you something to sell. It's easy to sell Egg Bowl, bowl win, third double-digit win season in 4 years. Good, very good recruiting class, another high-level portal class. That's really easy to buy into. And so when Georgia State comes to Oxford in week 1, You have a sold out stadium and fans are right back into it. You know, it's very easy to sell those things to a fan base, especially now that they've got 8 home games next year. The All SEC list gets released. Quite a few Ole Miss players on there and in some wrong spots to me. Yeah, we had some radio audience people think that Trey Harris was too low at third team. I don't agree. He didn't even play in 2 complete SEC games, really, right? You've got to play SEC games to be on the All-SEC team. It's unfortunate, but offered up a bold prediction for 2025. Ole Miss will win more games next season than this one. Interesting. The schedule comes out Wednesday. Tomorrow. I have to be in Tupelo now, tomorrow. So I don't know when I'll be able, I don't know when I'll be able to record that. We might just wait until Thursday. I wanted to do instant reaction. I know Neil McCready already put it out there. So what I have, and I guess it could be wrong, is Georgia State at Kentucky, Arkansas, Tulane, LSU, all at home. That's a tough stretch, by the way. Tough is not the right word. It's an interesting stretch. It's a fun stretch is what it is. Bye week. So again, Georgia State at Kentucky, Arkansas, Tulane, LSU, bye week, Washington State. This is the stretch. Goodness gracious. Washington State at Oklahoma, at Georgia, South Carolina. Get a break after South Carolina with the Citadel. Florida, bye week at Mississippi State. So a bye week before the Egg Bowl. That's what I have right now. Could it be wrong? I guess, sure, but I don't think it is. Can't really comment much on portal stuff, but it appears Ole Miss is in contact with a lot of the top guys of need. Yes, they are. Good example is that wide receiver from Georgia Tech. Apparently a very high asking price on that one. We shall see if they're able to do that. Lot of moving parts. It changes so fast. It just changes so fast. That's kind of why I think we're going to focus mostly on the guys that actually show up. So, thoughts on what Auburn's going to do in the portal at quarterback. I tend to find it pretty funny. This is year 3. This year 3 is make or break for Freeze. They are desperate. And desperate is good for the quarterbacks that they're recruiting, because I think that they are desperate to overspend, regardless of what Hugh Freeze said last year about spending $1 million on a quarterback. Buddy, he's going to have to. And so they've got a lot coming in. They've got Jackson Arnold coming in. They've got Duke's quarterback coming in. They are desperate. And I understand it. I don't blame them. They are. This Auburn team was pretty close to being pretty good. They coached their way out of a bunch of wins. But they're desperate to upgrade a quarterback. So I have a feeling the guys in the portal understand that. Are you crazy to think that Simmons will be better and have a higher ceiling than Dart? I think from a raw talent perspective, you're not crazy at all. I do want to see him play in more than just one possession, though. I think Ole Miss is going to have 4 opt-outs for sure. Trey Harris, mainly for injury. Nolan Princely and Juice Wells. Could be wrong about Wells, but he's not returning. Yeah, I don't know if Wells is going to play or not. I kind of forgot about that when he did announce that he was going to try to move on to the NFL. If you made me pick 4, that would be the first 4 that I would pick. Priestcorn has played through injury this season. Maybe he doesn't play as a result of said injury, but he doesn't strike me as an opt-out kind of guy. Besides that, maybe I'm wrong, but with the change to the House settlement about collective bargaining, will Mississippi change the law to allow state employees to sign 5-year contracts to lock football players in? So that does the school want that? Do you want to lock yourself into a player for 5 years? Goes both ways, doesn't it? I don't know. I am very curious to see how that changes. I mean, in order to collectively bargain without employment status, they'll need Congress to act. It's still kind of fluid. If they portal a top five class, you believe they will be right back in contention. Preseason top 25 team, if they're able to do that for sure. Think getting young portal guys with lots of eligibility left is the way to go. Dart, Harris, Watkins, etc. It can clearly work. Yes, it can. Offensive line, a different story. Although, again, I think that they might have tackle figured out already. Pounds ended up giving Ole Miss some good football late in the year. So maybe they got something there. You think based on the players' announcements and what Kiffin said, they at least are taking this bowl game with some level of seriousness. Doesn't seem like a Texas Bowl situation as of now. It does sound different. I don't know this. It would be wise of Lane to win this, to try to win this bowl game. Because regardless of the spin, he came up short of his own expectations this season. Well, how do you get back into your fan base's good graces, and how do you get momentum back on your side? Beat the hell out of Duke in your bowl game. Let that be your last your fans' last memory of the season. Sign that portal class and go right into 25 with some momentum. If I had to guess, do I think Kiffin retires in Oxford? I do not. They agreed to a new deal headline you see with guys like Dylan Stewart is just crazy. You know what's crazier? I actually like it. I appreciate the transparency of it. I like it. Do I think Ole Miss blows them out now if they're focused? Hit the like button, you heathens. Yeah, you better. Malik Murphy did exactly what he should have done, got out of Texas to get a shot to play, played major college football, performed well, gets to move up to a better situation. Can't hate him for that. No, I don't hate him for it. I mean, that's what people do in their professional lives, right? I mean, he is only doing what adults do. What cracks me up about my business sometimes is, you know, I understand that he's a college athlete, right? He's supposed to be a student athlete, but he's an adult, man. He's an adult. I assume by now that he's of legal age to drink. He is certainly of age to vote and serve in the military. He's an adult. And you have radio guys that, oh, this is terrible. Oh, there's no loyalty anymore. This is all blah, 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 blah. This is so terrible. And then you look at their bio and it's like five different stops at five different cities. It's like, okay, so you left places for better opportunities. But he's evil for doing the same thing? Where's your loyalty? Well, it's a job. It's different. They're very comparable. They're very comparable. He's only doing what adults in the business world do. Don't blame him for that. Other than seeing young guys play in the bowl, I would like to see Dart break the single season passing record. You know Lane Kiffin's going to guarantee he's able to do that. So Ole Miss men's basketball rounding into form finally. You were a little too hard on them earlier in the season. Memphis lost to Arkansas State at home. You know, you're not going to get perfect performances every night. I think so far you should feel very good about the way the team has played, and they're only going to get better, hopefully, you think. There's a lot to like. There's some flaws, but, I mean, how many teams can you describe as flawless in college basketball? Not many. How much playing time do I think Austin Simmons will get in the bowl? All depends on how many points they're able to get up by and how quickly. Talk to some of your Arkansas friends. They're so defeated when it comes to football. They're all fed up with Juracek. I'd be defeated. I mean, that's the right word, is defeated. Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. At least for Mississippi State fans, right? I mean, they went 2-10 and the team was god-awful, but you're like, you know, you've got some quarterback stuff going on and, you know, as a first-year head coach and at least you had, like, there's something new that you can still kind of buy into. Arkansas is just running it back again. Ooh. What's going on with Mississippi State's quarterback situation? You've seen Shapen back, but the rumor is Van Buren's going to hit the portal asking for $1.5 million. Auburn involved. Arnold is bad for them. Yeah, and this is – so keeping Hutzler is – Lebby tying himself to Hutzler, the defensive coordinator, is a big defining decision, right? How this happens is also a defining decision for him, because you have this young freshman that performed well that's very likely asking for an insane amount of money that, frankly, he hasn't earned yet. But there's a chance somebody out there is going to give him something close to it. You have this natural tie-in with Arnold, but is Arnold better than Van Buren? Do you risk running Van Buren off to bring in Arnold and... Yeah. And you're tied to that. And Jeff Lebby is going to be defined by what quarterback play he gets this season. What happens if you do let Van Buren quote unquote walk and he goes to Auburn and he plays really well and you get Jackson Arnold and he can't beat out Blake Shapen and you have, you know, a difficult season? You're going to be defined by that. It's fascinating. I have no idea what's going to happen. I truly don't. I wouldn't bet on any outcome at the moment. Auburn being involved, there's a scenario in which they don't get Arnold and Van Buren leaves anyway. And then you are really questioning method with Lebby. This is a big moment for him in his early head coaching career. Have we ever seen three SEC teams in such disarray as State, Arkansas, and Kentucky? It's funny. You talked about the three teams in the SEC that are in disarray, and you did not mention Vanderbilt. No way in hell. Thank you for the super chat, by the way. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. And check out PTG Outdoors. No way in hell Harris isn't the best receiver in the SEC. I think when healthy, he would have been the Biletnikoff guy if he'd have stayed healthy. But I don't hate the decision. I don't hate the vote for leaving him out because he did not play in SEC games. You do think it's better for the team in 2025 to get off to a start with games like Arkansas and Kentucky? I agree. This team really didn't need those first four games that way. Don't like the placement of the bye weeks. Citadel is essentially a bye week. So after South Carolina, having the Citadel before Florida certainly helps. You would have loved to have had a bye between Georgia and South Carolina, or between Oklahoma and Georgia. It being there would have been much better. Tell me their record against Oklahoma, Georgia, and South Carolina, and I'll tell you what kind of season they have. Burden making the first team as funny as you know what. That's a preseason ranking. That's BS. Brandon, thank you for the super chat, man. Appreciate it. He's not even the best receiver. He didn't have the best season on his team this year. Maybe from a talent perspective, he's the best receiver on his team. He didn't have the best season on his team. When can portal players actually sign? They can, as long as the school is accepting enrollees, they can sign right now. Bet Kiffin will want this game to be a 30-plus point game. Yeah, 60-plus point game if he can help it, for sure. Basketball is exciting, but if we're being honest, we can't really say much about it until they play Memphis on the 28th, but the SEC is ridiculous. Missouri, who went 0-18 last year, beats number one Kansas. So I do think that we learned some things about them against BYU and Purdue, though. I think we learned a lot in those two games. The guards can win games for Ole Miss, and they've got some depth there as well. They've got guard play that can win games and can score at different levels, and I like their activity. They really took it to Purdue in the second half anyway, and then BYU. They've got a real chance. But, yeah, Memphis will tell us a whole heck of a lot, though. You agree? You like the agreed to a new deal thing? It's just going to take some adjustment to read something like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I think Bryce Pollock, or I guess it's Pollock, by the way, replaces Trey Amos if he comes to Oxford? I don't think he's Trey Amos. He's a good player. He can help. He's not Trey Amos. That Arkansas beat reporter posting the DMs on Twitter was something else, but the player outright lied to him. Again, just a mess in Fayetteville. And the player ended up not going in the portal after all. He went in the portal and then withdrew a few hours later. What a mess. Might be a hot take, but you'd be shocked if Dart ever really did much in the NFL. I mean, even the first-round prospects don't do much in the NFL. It's hard. It's hard to break through in that. It's really hard. So weird being in the top 20 in men's basketball and being ninth in the SEC. SEC basketball is a chance to be all-time great collectively. It's the best the league has ever been. Will there be staff changes made? Kind of hard to recruit guys if you're going to drop the axe on their coordinators, position coaches in a few days, right? I have always anticipated there being some staff changes. Part of me wonders if it'll be a while from now before they get that done around the coaching convention. In my honest opinion, do I think Lebby could survive year two with four or less wins? It could get dicey. It could get dicey, but with revenue sharing here, I mean, I don't think his buyout would be that much, but man, and think about it too. You would go 2-5 with Moorhead and then Mike Leach and then 1-5 with Arnett and then 2-5 with Jeff Lebby. You're kind of telling on yourself when you do something like that. So they may need to ride with this for a while. Vanderbilt's going to be in a bad spot again the moment Jerry Kill and the New Mexico State guys walk out the door. We'll see. I mean, I do like Clark Lee, and I do think that they have increased their investment in football. They're trying. It's more than you can say about them before. Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech is a bowl game you're looking forward to. Hope the Doors get a seventh win. That should be a game where both teams are engaged anyway. So. Will Vandy be back to normal next season? I think they're going to be a tough out moving forward. Maybe not going to a bowl game next year, but Ole Miss, if Ole Miss is 2-1 in that Oklahoma, Georgia, South Carolina stretch, what will their record be? 10-2. If they can go 2-1 in that stretch, that's a 10-win football team. Dart getting first-team quarterback felt deserved, especially with the finish that Ewers had. He struggled. Thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you and your support very, very much. If you were State, you tried to get the Duke starting quarterback. Certainly would try. I mean, I would be shocked if Lebby did not reach out. Would be totally shocked if Lebby did not reach out. But it does kind of feel like they're in this conundrum right now where they're trying to bring in Arnold, but Van Buren's still there. Auburn wants both of them. I mean, if we're just being honest, Auburn wants both of them, or at least has talked to both of them, or is trying to talk to both of them, and you're not keeping all three. But there's a chance in your effort to keep two that you lose two. What a weird spot they're in right now. Interesting for sure. I believe I said it, but the Purdue game can be a valuable learning experience. Should have won that game, but even in a loss, it's nothing but good for the resume. Absolutely. It will only improve their resume. They came back from down big, can play with a team like that. Did the majority of the Marshall team enter the portal? If so, Southern Miss might pick up an entire team. I don't know if it's the majority of the team, but a lot of them did. And yes, Southern Miss will get a good bit of them. Any chance Ole Miss cancels the Washington State or Tulane games out of conference next year? No. Washington State is replacing, in effect, a canceled out of conference game already. And they need to keep them. So, last thing, and I got to run. Thoughts on Belichick possibly going to UNC? All of the stuff that's been reported about, like, his pitch to North Carolina is him just describing how you need to do it in college football. Like, that's just how you need to do it. So I don't know how profound any of that actually is. But Bill Belichick, won 6 Super Bowls and was the GM of the Patriots. And yes, college recruiting and managing players is different than that of the NFL. They're not adult men with wives and children, not all of them anyway. Shout out Caden Priestcorn. But managing the personalities is a little bit different. But what do NFL head coaches and GMs specifically do? And how do they build rosters? And what is it about? And the connections that he would have would be huge. And his name carries so much weight. Maybe there's an opportunity for him to really win. When roster building in college looks more like the NFL than it ever has been, maybe a guy like him could work. I think counting out Belichick would be a mistake. And also, he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend. Clearly, he's a pretty good recruiter. Or he's got a great sales pitch that also transfer portal players are looking for. Very similar, the two of those. I said last one, I lied. If Harold Perkins gets in the portal, do I believe Golding will go after him hard? Yes, but I don't think that they will spend an insane amount of money to get him. I have a feeling it would be hard to have both him and Suntarian Perkins on the field at the same time. You would figure it out, but two undersized pass rushers on the field at the same time could become something that could get exploited. Do you try to get him? 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you pay $1 billion to get him? Nah. You get him if the price is right. But anyway, I got to run. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you on Thursday. And I agree. I would actually, if you gave me the choice between Suntarian or Harold Perkins, I would choose the one you already got. But anyway, we'll see you guys on Thursday. Thank you again. Thank you for the super chats. Really, 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 really appreciate you. And we'll talk to you on Thursday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.